I'm sure a lot of people may have always wondered about me. I never really looked at myself as having a story to tell. For the life of me, I couldn't figure out why anyone would be interested in hearing about my life. Then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "There you go, thinking about yourself again. Telling your testimony isn't so much about you as you think it is. It's about telling God's people of his glorious power." And glorious it is indeed. God has taken me from a place of complete darkness and wickedness and has brought me into the most beautiful light that I've ever experienced. And all praise be to the Most High. I was born the youngest of five children, and my mother raised us all in a close environment. She taught us how to get along and love one another. But most importantly, she taught us how to stand on our own two feet. Because in this world, as she would say often, nothing is given to you free. I'm going to go back to as far as my mind will let me. One night, me and my brothers and sisters were all in a room, and out of nowhere, our house became surrounded with police cars. I was no more than two, but can remember everything. I remember being swooped up by this police officer and a blanket placed around me. Our mother was being taken away in handcuffs, and our grandmother was screaming for the cops to bring us to her. Later that night at my grandmother's house, she put us to bed, and the next morning simply said, "Your mom in jail." I remember being scared and a little confused. That previous night, my mother had stabbed my biological father 10 times in his back and was being charged with malicious wounding. While my mother was in prison, she lost custody of us. We were all separated and handed to different family members. Me, myself, got the privilege of staying with my grandmother. I don't know what was going on in the life of my grandmother back then, or in the life of my other family members that was there. But for one reason or another, I was beat terribly. I was beat with all kinds of things, from belts to ironing cords to extension cords to hands of all shapes and sizes. I was forced to sit in a corner from the time I woke up, and I wasn't allowed to move except to eat or to go to the bathroom. If I did so, I was beat. When I had to go to the bathroom, I wasn't allowed to go alone. The door had to be wide open, and one of my family members had to watch. I found it hard to go while someone was standing there watching, and at times, I didn't go. And for this, I was beat as well. After what seemed like forever, my mother was released from prison. She beat the charges while representing herself and telling her story of self-defense. She was found not guilty. My biological father never claimed me since I was born. When me being as light as I am and even lighter at birth, and him being the brownest of brown, he swore, even to this day, that my father is a white man. We didn't go back to my mother right away. She had to go through the courts first. She came to visit me all the time, though. How I loved when she came over. And know how everyone turned into this perfect person when she was there. I was told by my aunt that whenever my mother was coming over, I was to stand one spot and I better not move. And each time, I disobeyed. My mother would play with me until it was time for her to go. At that time, I wept bitterly. And as soon as the door shut behind her, I received my nightly beating for moving while my mother was in the house. And it seemed like years passed when my mother finally won back custody of all five of her children. When she came to pick me up, I remember being so happy and so relieved. I didn't have a smile to get at nobody in that house when I left. By this time, my mother had met a new man, and he is my stepfather, and the man that I call dad to this day. My mother collected all of her children, and we moved to the north side of Richmond. I will never forget that place. Everything seemed perfect. My mother married this man who I call dad, and I enjoyed being a child. Me and my siblings played from sunup to sundown, and life seemed like one big playground. No one in my family was saved. From the oldest to the youngest, none of us knew the Lord. I don't know who left the door open, whose sin did it, but the devil found his way into that little house in Richmond. There was always parties going on in my house, always heavy alcohol and drug use. The adults tried their best to hide and to make sure we was always in the room when these things were going on, but With us being kids, we always found ways to sneak out. As a young child, I was turned on to a lot of things. I was feeling things at 8 and 9 that, looking back on it now, I had no business feeling. Children are a lot smarter than people give them credit for. It wasn't hard to figure out what everyone was doing. One night after a fun-filled day, a family member called me and my siblings into a room to watch something on television. I had never seen anything like what was being played on the TV before. And being the child that I was, began to ask questions about everything that I saw. For what we was watching was a porno. I was 7 years old. After a little while, my family member took the tape off and simply said, "All right, y'all go to bed." I got back in bed with the images still playing in my head. At the time, though I didn't realize it, I myself opened the door to darkness and evil spirits of lust, wasting no time trying to devour me. The very sound or mention of sex would send me into an all-out panic. I had to indulge in evil, lustful habits. There was nowhere around it whatsoever. I started searching through my house for that video we had watched not too long ago. And to my surprise and enjoyment, found that and a truckload of others. I never told anyone what I was doing, but I did go back to that family member and say, "Hey, let's watch that movie again." And to my shock, got screamed at and told that if I ever was caught watching it, I would get a terrible beating. But it was too late. I watched the movies every chance I got. A few years passed and we all got a little older. We moved into this new house that had just been built, and we were all happy to have been the first to live in the new house. We stayed a few years in that house and I enjoyed playing outside. I don't know if I constantly was doing stuff wrong or if there just was something about me that people just didn't like. But whatever the reason, the beating started up again, only this time with the beatings. Verbal abuse came as well, and the verbal abuse hurt more than the physical. I was thrown down steps, thrown out of cars, made to walk bare feet out in public with no shoes, had my feet, my face punched and smacked, beat red. I started to become a loner, and I lived in my own little world. My two older sisters never wanted to hang out with me back then. I guess they figured they were too old and I was too silly. So I hung out with my brothers and turned into what's known as a tomboy. My lust for sex didn't stop, even after we moved into this new house. It was a battle that I would fight for years to come. I was a big fan of horror movies at a young age. We had tons of movies in our house, and our friends would call it the movie gallery. I was very much aware of demons, and just from watching the movies and hearing stories of the boogeyman, became terrified of him. I only knew a little bit about God. I knew he created everything. I knew he created all the animals. I knew his son could walk on water and that he died for our sins. And I also knew that one day he was coming back. And that's about it. But even as a young child, I enjoyed hearing people talk about the Lord. I knew that God was the good one and Satan was the bad one. Now the devil, he'll sneaky somebody. He played off my feelings and emotions and used it to his advantage for years. The first encounter that I can remember with a demon force was in that new house that I spoke of earlier. The night ended just like any other night. Fun playing outside, good food, then off to bed. Only that night I awoke with a horrific feeling that bugs was crawling all over me. I jumped out of bed and I snatched the covers back, and nothing was there. I got back in bed, but only a few minutes later, that feeling of bugs all over me came upon me again. So a second time, I jumped up, snatched the covers back, and nothing. By this time, I was terrified and decided to get in bed with my brother, for we shared a room. He had a mattress on the floor, and when you laid on it, you can see under my bed, because mine was sitting on railings. So while in bed with him, clutching his legs, everything just got loud. It was like silence turned all the way up, if that makes sense. While laying in my brother's bed in the dark, I just happened to look under my bed because I was facing it. And under my bed, staring back at me, was two red, glowing, evil eyes. I was horrified and couldn't make a sound. The room became boiling hot, and I was so thirsty. I just kept hearing this voice in my head say, "Go get some water. Just go get some water." After a while, I just couldn't take it anymore. I brought it out of my room down the stairs, and I got me a drink. It was the coldest water that I had ever tasted. My thirst was quenched in just a few sips. I went back to bed, and the heat was gone. It felt good. The eyes were gone. I climbed back in bed with my brother, and after a few hours, finally drifted off to sleep. I believe the power of God was shown to the devil that night. Now, some people ask, how do you figure that? Well, I believe the devil was trying to scare me into insanity, put me into the nut house, putting me in fear so severe that they wouldn't have a choice but to put me in a straitjacket. But on that night, he lost to a 10-year-old. I was so scared. I was so shook up. But even through all that, I never once reached over and woke my brother completely up. When I bolted out of the room, I didn't run into my parents' room. I ran downstairs to get a drink of water. After hearing this voice that seemed to come out of nowhere tell me to do so, I believe that was God speaking to me that night. And I also believe that it was revealed to the devil that God had a plan for my life. We stayed a little while long in that house, and I started to get into music a little bit. Absolutely hated school, but it was through school that I started to get closer to music. I started doing spoken word, and people took to it and told me I was good at it. By this time, my parents' marriage was out of control, and my stepfather moved out. And when this happened, the horror in my life really started. My stepfather was my protector. He was my sunshine through all that rain. He was the only person that ever helped me when he knew that I was being dealt wrong. And when he left, I lost my shield. We had moved by then to Chesterfield in this huge house, the biggest that we had ever lived in. It was around about that time that he left that I got into liquor and weed or marijuana. I simply started doing it just because everyone else was doing it, and I wanted to see what the hype was. I was smoking cigarettes and blacking my house too. I wasn't even 16 yet. I got high and drunk all day and all night and would wake up the next morning and do it all over again. This is what I call fun, and no one was going to tell me differently. I started selling drugs for a friend of mine who couldn't keep it in his house. I sold it right out of my bedroom window. He would buy tons of it and give it to me, and I would sell it for him and bring him his profit. He either paid me in two ways, cash or drugs. I didn't care which one, to tell you the truth. If he gave me cash, I would just go buy more drugs and alcohol. And if he gave me drugs, all that means is I didn't have to buy it. I started making a name for myself through my music, and people started recognizing me and knowing who I was. I did concerts in Richmond and began to gain a fan base. I was a teenager now and began to get interested in boys. This was a challenge for me because I wasn't a girly girl type of female. My family talked about my weight so much that I started to wear men's clothing to hide my body off. It was hard for me to even gain the attention of a guy because everyone thought that I was a lesbian by the way that I dressed. I was not a lesbian, but refused to change my clothing. I kept a lot of friends, though, because my house was the chill spot. You can come to my house and all your problems would just go away, literally, at least for a few hours. And I kept people laughing. I tried to be hilarious and funny all the time. That summer, the county fair came along, and me and a few friends got jobs. The fair stays in Chesterfield for exactly 2 weeks, or at least it did back then. There I met this guy named Isaias. He was a Puerto Rican slim guy with a charming smile and strong accent. I liked him a lot. We began talking. I was in charge of a game and him a ride, and they were seated right beside each other. As the fair went on, we talked every day. As the 2 weeks was coming to an end, I invited him back to my house with some friends to get high and drink. He accepted. That night, while listening to music, we were all out of our minds and stumbling drunk, having the time of our lives, or so we thought. As the night was coming to an end, my friends made their way home, and Isaias asked if he can stay the night. Not only just met this man 11 days ago, but being as high as I was, can care less. I said, sure. While the adults was when this was taking place, to this day, I don't have a clue. I lost my virginity that night to a man that I had only known for 11 days. All I kept thinking while the act was taking place is probably the same thing a lot of lost girls think their first time engaging in sex with a man. Might as well get it over with. So I got it over with. I was 16 and this man was 30 years old. The affair ended a few days after that and he left and I never saw him again. It wasn't until a few months later that I received a distraught phone call from this woman crying and yelling. She had found my number in her husband's phone. Come to find out, I had committed adultery with a married man and he had a child. A rock seemed to sit on my chest and I felt this woman's pain as she cried to me over the phone. I had committed adultery and was reminded of so many marriages in my family. I felt shame that I had caused this woman the same pain that I had witnessed all through my life. And it is something that I deeply regret to this day. Years passed and school became something that I attended once a week. I was too hungover from the night before to get up and catch the school bus. I simply didn't care. When I was in school, I hardly did any work. I cussed out my teachers, got sent to the office, and eventually home. The way I figured it back then, who cares? By this time, my brother, who had turned into a completely different person also, introduced a pill to me that was called Triple C's. The only drug that I had ever done was marijuana, and popping pills really wasn't my thing. He told me that I had to take 8 of them to feel the effect. These were your normal cough and cold pills that one can get from just about any store. I refused. Weeks passed and he kept bringing it up. Finally, I gave in. I took 8 of the pills. To my surprise, felt absolutely nothing. After that, I told him that the pills was weak and I would not take them again. He left me alone after that. A few days later, my brother got locked up and my friends were turned on to these pills, just laughing and having a good old time. I began to get mad that I was missing out and grabbed a pack of pills, but we had tons of them that we stole from the neighborhood Family Dollar instead of taking 8 pills. I took 10. I slipped into this world of bliss. Through the use of drugs, I exposed myself to demon influence and oppression, which I later had to be delivered from years later as I started my walk on that narrow road. Drugs, especially those that make you hallucinate, such as these pills that I was taking, are used by the forces of darkness to gain access to the human personality or body. These drugs alter perception, mood, thought patterns, personality, and ego structure, producing hallucinations, delusions, illusions, and intense emotional changes. By invading the spiritual realm in an unauthorized manner through the use of drugs, the victim becomes prey to demonic forces, which sometimes pose as angels or guides, or even God himself when the individual has a good trip. Or they may appear as the horrible creatures and demons that they really are when giving the victim a bad trip or a freak out. 2 Corinthians 11:14 tells us that Satan and his servants can transform themselves into angels of light. And it seemed that I was always getting a freak out trip. Though God didn't reveal this to me until after I was saved and received both baptisms. But when it was revealed to me, I heard the truth bells ringing. And I can tell you from experience, it is the absolute truth. Drugs are a cop out from responsibility. It is man's effort to achieve deliverance from the reality of this world and enter into a state of spiritual bliss without Jesus Christ. And you can find this information all over the place. Scriptures definitely prove it. And you can also read up on it in the book, Angels of Light. I did this drug for a few months until I had enough. I didn't like how the drug was making me feel anymore. I felt downright crazy. After I had astral projected and hovered over my bed, watching my own body lay there lifelessly. I can even recall a time when I ran out of my house flipping and rolling in the road while cars were backed up for about 2 blocks. I was possessed. By this time, my mother's house was filled with demons that I saw daily. And even through all that, I thought I knew who God was. I believed his son was who he claimed to be. I talked very proudly of God when I did speak about him. I started to read the Bible simply because I was bored. I'd have a Bible in one hand and a Bible in the other. When I started to read the Bible, that's when the demons really showed off. One night, a friend and I was just listening to some music and having a nice time. I'll never forget what we were listening to. A rapper named Lil Wayne. And we were listening to his album called The Carter II. After listening to a few songs, we stopped on this one song, which was our favorite. After a little while listening to this song, the voice coming from the speakers completely changed. The voice coming from the speakers was no longer Lil Wayne's. I noticed this after a couple of seconds when my friend was still bobbing his head. But after a while, he too stopped and said, "The heck is that?" We got quiet and listened, just to make sure we weren't going crazy. We switched to another song, and another, and another. It was Lil Wayne's words, but it wasn't his voice rapping it. That's when I knew it was a demon. I cut the music off, couldn't believe what we had just heard. My friend was freaking out, got up and opened the door, standing on the other side. It was a face. And this face was all burnt up, mutilated, looking like it had just stepped out of fire or hell itself. And all I can do was to holler at my friend and tell him to shut the door. All my life, I always wanted to know what made that demon start singing. Some years later, after my deliverance, God revealed this to me through a man named G. Craig Lewis from Texas. The Lord spoke clearly through this man and said, "Rapping is what you do. Hip hop is how you live." And you can hear this phrase quoted by several different rap celebrities. Hip hop teaches the youth and even adults how to walk, talk, think, and act. It teaches a lifestyle, a way to live. Hip hop steps in and becomes a parent, in most cases a father, which is absent big time in the black community. And instead of teaching good, it teaches evil. He went on to speak and said, "We have many demonic spirits working in this world, and in the world which we cannot see. They have many different names." This is proven in scripture. Galatians 1:16, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Hip hop is a spirit. And the reason why this demon started singing this song was because he was the author of it, and the author of millions of songs that's poured out into the mind of our young folks. After this encounter, I believe this is when the Lord started his tug of war with me against the devil, sending me dreams and just being the awesome God that he is. I began reading the Bible more and more and grew fascinated by him. The devil knew that I was doing this and sent more demons in my room and in my dreams as well. One actually told me while pointing his scraggly little finger that he was taking my soul with him to hell. We moved several different places and I attended several different churches and meetings, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and Muslims too. I stopped doing drugs. It simply wasn't any more pleasure in it to me anymore. God just took them completely out of my life, and I haven't done them since. I was still smoking cigarettes and drinking alcohol, though. I was still lusting and fornicating with men as well. Eventually, I grew tired of what was going on at home and decided to leave. I joined the military immediately. Half of me did it just to get out of the house. Another half did it just because people was telling me I couldn't. I shipped out a few months later, and for the first time, I was without my family. I was terrified, but happy. I took to the military life well, and I enjoyed it. But my bad attitude followed me, and I got into plenty of trouble. My whole platoon was disgusted with me, but I didn't care. I had a problem with authority and told those over me exactly how I felt. I didn't care what rank they were. They could have fell into a hole for all I cared. If you think drugs and booze stop in the military, you're wrong. There was plenty of it to go around. Plenty of homosexuals, too. My second year in, I got sent to my unit, and I hated it. I couldn't wait to get out. I had enough money to rent me a little house, and I did so. My military check wasn't enough to pay my bills and eventually lost my house, having to move back in with my family. I hated it. Even though I was over 18 and wasn't getting beat, that still didn't stop the verbal abuse. Some years prior to this, I had started hearing voices. These voices would say blasphemous things against God. They tormented me all the time to the point where I would yell out, "Shut up," and everyone would just look at me like I was crazy. I started seeing this man that I met from the neighborhood and got a job at the grocery store. I decided to get an apartment, and this man moved in with me, and we lived as if we was married. I didn't have a car and desperately needed a ride to and from work. That's when I met this little old lady from the grocery store, Donna Nelson. She interested me a lot, and I enjoyed her matter-of-fact way of talking. She was by far one of the smallest ladies I had ever seen. I thought very fondly of her, and she seemed to like me a lot. We became friends, and she asked me questions all the time. But her main concern was of the Lord. She would always speak of him. Jesus this and Jesus that, and you shouldn't do this because the Lord says this, and just on and on and on and on and on. A lot of people didn't like it, but I for one loved it. If I didn't know anything else about her, one thing was for sure. She loved the Lord. This was evident just by one conversation with her. She was very much concerned about my life and asked me continuously to come to her church. I told her that I didn't mind, but never went. Then she found out about my car problems and tried to help me find a vehicle. In the meantime, she said, "I'll give you rides home and from work. When you get off, just walk up to the church, and I'll take you home when it's over." She gave me directions, and I started walking while thinking, "I hope this mess lets out early." I get to the church, and I put my hand on the doorknob, take a deep breath, and I walk in. Everyone turns and stares at me. I try to find a seat quickly because I'm getting annoyed that people are looking at me. I find a seat next to this lady, and she greets me with a smile. Then I started to laugh to myself, thinking, these people look weird. Look at them sitting there just listening intently. I give everybody the once-over, then focus my attention on this man standing up preaching. I remember thinking, he sure is a little man. Immediately, I was on the defensive and ready to find something wrong in what he was saying. I listened for the whole 60 seconds and didn't understand a word. I remember thinking, I wish he'd hurry up so I can go. I began to nod off, but I wasn't really asleep. I was just pretending to be asleep, hoping that he would see me and get mad. I wanted him to get mad. The church ends with songs that I had never heard before. And I remember thinking, what in the world is these people singing in here? And to my surprise, it made me feel good. When church was over, I was took around to meet a few people there that I really didn't care to meet. I started to come to this church just to get a ride. Plain and simple. Nothing more, nothing less. All right, now I lost my place. I went home and told this man I was living with about the crazy songs and how everyone looked weird to me. I went to sleep that night feeling happier than I had ever felt. And I didn't know why. A few nights later, I was back at the church again. The pastor was back up there preaching, and he really wasn't knowing me because he was taking forever. But that night, something happened. He looked me in my eyes, and when he did that, I became afraid. It was something about his eyes. I never seen such eyes before. Later on the ride back home, I couldn't help but ask, what's wrong with that pastor's eyes? They were disturbing me. Donna assured me that nothing was wrong with his eyes. And and she said that he may have just been tired, having come back from a long trip. That night I went to bed and couldn't get those eyes out of my head. I decided that I would go back to church and get his pastor peace of my mind. Simply asked him what his problem was, and he quit staring at me like that. Next church meeting, I arrived confident. But the man who was preaching was someone else. I became annoyed and sucked my teeth and rolled my eyes through his whole teaching. Throughout the next few weeks, I continued to attend church. But something was different now. I wasn't going to church just to get a ride anymore. I was actually starting to enjoy the atmosphere. Everyone was just so nice, and it seemed like nothing was wrong in their lives. I watched everybody intently. Even the children seemed different from the children I was used to being around. Everyone just looked so happy and bright, and I wanted to know what was going on in their lives to make them feel that way. Whenever somebody would come to talk to me, my whole body would just lock up. I was afraid of not knowing what to say. I spoke with a lot of street slang and tried to say as little as possible. Eventually, I was convinced to go in and talk to this preacher man. I stepped into his office scared, not knowing what to expect. I said a call from him, and he stared at me. Then he simply said, "Are you a sinner?" I almost laughed out loud in shock at our right question. I responded with, "I don't know. I think I am." He proceeded to ask me questions, and I gave yeses where they applied and noes when they applied. We talked for a few more minutes, and he gave me something to think about for the night. I decided not to tell this man off. After talking to him, he didn't seem so bad. I thought he was nice and decided to stop being so rude while he was preaching. And from that point on, whenever he talked, I listened. Around this time, I started to feel strange and bad about my life and what I was doing for some reason. I sat down in church and watched all the married couples. I never seen relationships like this. You can learn a lot just by observing someone. I studied them, and as I was studying, I was learning. I watched them smile at one another, and it reminded me of a fairy tale. Is this love? I thought to myself. Is this what true love looks like? I watched these married couples for a few more meetings. They just seemed so right. And I yearned for it. It was around this time that I realized I didn't love this man I was living with. I cared about him, sure, but there was no way that I wanted to marry him. I told him he had to leave my house, something that he didn't take too well. He was mad and confused, wanting to know what brung this on all of a sudden. But the power of Jesus is always unfamiliar to those who don't know him. I was so happy when he was gone. I decided to shape up and to do better. I was really starting to like this church and the people. My eyes were being opened through the teachings, and I wanted to learn more and more and more about God. Through the true word of God being taught through this church, I realized that my life was worth absolutely nothing, and I had to change with no time to waste. Without Jesus, I was just a dead man walking. So I got saved July 24th, 2011, praise God. Everything in my life seemed to get better, and the word of God truly touched me. But one morning I awoke to blistering heat. I sat up and realized I didn't hear anything. That was odd. I looked around and didn't see any lights on. I got up and flicked the switch. Nothing. Turns out that man that I was living with had my lights turned off, for they were in his name. And this was in the middle of a hot summer, and it was only getting hotter. I sat there in the dark that night and cried. I asked God over and over, why? I said, Lord, I'm trying. I'm really trying. And to my surprise, he answered. He said, you're paying attention to everything else. You're forgetting the most important thing, me. And he was absolutely right. Just then a car drove by and brought light into the room for a few seconds. And when the room lit up with light, I looked, and there on the floor was the Holy Bible. I ran to it and hugged it and cried and cried. I held it close to my heart. This was God's plan. I put my hand on my stomach, promising my unborn child that I would be the best mother that he could ever ask for. Over the next few months, I moved out of that apartment. God did a complete 360 on me, and I turned from my sinful ways. He brought me out of the darkness completely and into his holy light. Nothing is too hard for him. He makes all things new. I gave birth to my son, March 12, 2012. And I love my little boy. He was born through the sin of me and his father, but praise God, he has a Christian mother, and his mother is not that person I used to be. I say hallelujah, because I'm reborn. All my sins and all my struggles are washed in the blood of Jesus. It's like looking through new eyes. Like all my life, I've been wearing a blindfold. It's amazing. It's truly amazing. God has truly transformed me. I'm grateful that when people look at me today, they no longer see the old me, but the reborn me. I can say today that I truly love the Lord. My desires are to do his will. And I will forever be thankful to God and will forever praise his name. His power and his mercy is unbelievable. For him to love me in my darkest hour, for him to choose me when every day I was telling him that I didn't want anything to do with him. He is the complete expression of love. How stupid I was. What a fool I was. I remember I was hanging out with some Christian friends, and they asked me what was the craziest thing I had done when I was in the world. I thought I had told them, if you could have saw the look on all three of their faces. All I kept thinking was, where was these looks back then? How come nobody looked at me like that then? And maybe half of what happened to me wouldn't have happened. And it's just so funny how when you get saved and start living right, how people from your past that you haven't seen in about 9, 10 years is right there in your face. And I see old friends all the time, and they tell me, hey, Tiff, I got some weed. Let's go smoke. And I say, I can't do that anymore. Then they say, well, we're going to get some bottles, and we're going to go to the club. And I tell them, I can't do that anymore. And not only can I not do it, but praise God, because I don't want to do it anymore. Then they say, oh, man, you're a square. And I said, well, I'll be a circle too. Get out of my face. But I thank you, Lord, for loving me. And thank you for your kindness and mercy. Thank you for being just who you are, Lord. Thank you for saving me and bringing me in so that I no longer have to be out in the streets with the dogs. Thank you for loving me. But I didn't love myself. Thank you for choosing me, but I didn't choose you. Thank you for my son. Thank you for my church family. Y'all have been so good to me, every last one of y'all. I don't deserve none of it, by the way. I love all y'all. Thank y'all for everything. Thank you for my pastor. Ms. Guffrey, I love your husband. He's changed my life. And most importantly, thank you for you, Lord. Thank you for you. In Jesus' name, amen.